Had another little rain this afternoon, which continues to make the grass grow, and that makes me happy. Cows happy, and it does freshen the air. Thankful to be with you this evening. We also are thankful to have J.W. Crowder, priest, break the bread of life unto us tonight. So we ask for him, your kind prayers and attention, as he shall may offer that ministry this evening. I'd like to offer for a scripture setting from section 36, the last portion of that section. But before that day, he saw great tribulations among the wicked, and he also saw the sea, and it was troubled, and men's hearts failing them, looking forth with fear for the judgments of the Almighty God, which had come upon the wicked. And the Lord showed Enoch all things, even unto the end of the world. And he saw the day of righteous, the hour of their redemption, and received a fullness of joy. And all the days of Zion and the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch and all his people walked with God, and he dwelt in the midst of Zion. And it came to pass that Zion was not, for God received it up into his own bosom. And from thenceforth went forth the saying, Zion is fled. Let us use hymn number 192, When Earth in Bondage Long Had Lain, and then I'll have an invocation. 192. Father, once again, as we gather into your sanctuary this night, Father, we're so thankful for your blessings unto us. We recognize your hand in all things, and we thank you in all things. We know that you continue to Send down the power of your Holy Spirit unto your creation. And Father, we pray for that blessing tonight as we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray for my brother J.W. as he shall break the bread of life unto us, that his tongue might be loose, Father. And those things that he bring us, we might even be taught from on high. So we pray for that blessing this night. We just again, Lord, thank you for all things. We recognize our nothingness before you without the power of your Holy Spirit. Bless those families and loved ones that could not attend with us for various reasons, sickness and needing your healing hand or your comforting spirit in their lives. And we pray for that blessing upon those on our prayer list and prayer chain, our families and loved ones. Father, we love you. We desire to serve you. We pray these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
The scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of Mosiah, the 11th chapter, starting on verse 97. And it came to pass that King Mosiah granted unto Alma that he might establish churches throughout all the land of Zarahemla, and gave him power to ordain priests and teachers over every church. Now this was done because there were so many people that they could not all be governed by one teacher. Neither could they all hear the word of God in one assembly. Therefore they did assemble themselves together in different bodies, being called churches. Every church having their priests and their teachers, and every priest preaching the word according as it was delivered to him by the mouth of Alma. And thus, notwithstanding there being many churches, they were all one church, yea, even the church of God. It is my hope and prayer that one day we can live up to that scripture. That although I look out with sadness and see a lot of empty seats, I rejoice for the ones that are filled. And I know that one day, in the timing of the Lord, that the quorums will be full. And the Lord will set in order his house. And that will be a great day. But whether we are in Lexington, Missouri, or Kisumu, Kenya, or in, name a town in Nepal,
Kathmandu.
This is a world church. And no matter where we are, no matter if we're black or white, male or female, young or old, rich or poor, bond or free, all are welcome. And we're all in that same church. Because there's only one church of God. So I look forward to those great days yet ahead.
I failed to mention that Elder Leroy Shumick will be bringing our benediction. Let us continue then in with hymn number 373, I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, 373.
I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus.
Good evening. I do greet you in that precious name of Jesus Christ, beautiful name that it is. I certainly pray that the Lord will give me that liberty to share those things that I think He's placed upon my heart, that I also feel very strongly about. And certainly today, the adversary really laid on the opposition, and I could certainly feel as I was heading here tonight that it just was a testimony, you know, that I knew this was something the Lord wanted me to do, because the adversary certainly made it known that he did not want me here. He just wanted me to go home. But beautiful hymns that we shared this evening. And when I say that, oh, I really like this hymn, it's one of my favorite hymns, well, then I mention 100 others. I just love the hymns, just like I love the scriptures. I always did like the one we first sang from Parley P. Pratt, When Earth in Bondage, and reading his book and then knowing his tragic end, just like R.C. Evans, it breaks my heart that these men could preach and write and yet fall. One of my favorite hymns also is Redeemer of Israel. I think everybody likes that one. But one verse, and it never gets old every time we sing it, when it says, our foes have rejoiced when our sorrows they've seen, but Israel will shortly be free. And that just really tugs at my heartstrings every time, because I think Rob mentioned it this morning, you know, he can only speak for himself, he can't speak for others. And I just know that the opposition I see day to day, they rejoice. The enemies of all righteousness, they rejoice when you trip up and you struggle and you're in pain and you're sick and you fall short. They love that. They relish that. And that's just satanic. But we know that Israel one day will be free. I have a lot of scriptures to go through this night, so we'll start out in Matthew 13. I'll start at verse 39. The harvest is the end of the world, or the destruction of the wicked. The reapers are the angels, or the messengers sent of heaven. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world, or the destruction of the wicked. For in that day, before the Son of Man shall come, he shall send forth his angels and messengers of heaven, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them out among the wicked. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, for the world shall be burned with fire. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That's a promise. It's like Redeemer of Israel. It's something we have to look forward to. In the book of John, the 16th chapter, again, Jesus speaking to his disciples. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. There's that word again. I read a book, I have it, it's from Glenn Beck. It's called Addicted to Outrage. If you turn on the news today, everybody's outraged about everything. Everybody's offended. And the Lord gives us this. It's what I love about the scriptures. Even though they were written thousands of years ago, you think they were written today because of how relevant they are. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. In the 24th chapter of Alma, starting on verse 72. I really liked this as I read this. We all know the story of the Helaman's 2,000 stripling warriors, and of course the many before that that would not take up arms anymore to defend themselves or their country or anything they believed in, but would just allow themselves to be slaughtered, which in many times they were. But there were others that decided against that. Therefore, they did assemble themselves together at this time, and as many as were able to take up arms, they called themselves Nephites. These were Lamanites, but they wanted to call themselves Nephites. And they entered into a covenant to fight for that liberty of the Nephites, yea, to protect the land unto the laying down of their lives. Yea, even they covenanted that they would never give up their liberty, but they would fight in all cases. Not a sunshine patriot, not a fair weather fan, not when they got all their chores done, but at all times. It's like the wedding feast. Sorry, Lord, I can't go. I got too much stuff to do. And the Lord obviously was not pleased with that. They would protect the Nephites and themselves from bondage. Down at verse 76. And they were all young men, and they were exceeding valiant for courage and also for strength and activity. But behold, this was not all. They were men who were true at all times in whatsoever thing they were entrusted. Yea, they were men of truth and soberness, for they had been taught to keep the commandments of God and to walk uprightly before Him. I'm often thinking of the old poster of Uncle Sam, you know, this, I need you for the U.S. Army. That scripture from Alma is the type of men that we need in the church and in this nation. From section 102, paragraph 10c, the Lord admonishes His church. There has been a day of calling, but the time has come for a day of choosing. So instead of talking, how about let's get down to business? And let those be chosen that are worthy, and it shall be manifest unto my servant by the voice of the Spirit, those that are chosen, and they shall be sanctified. And inasmuch as they follow the counsel which they receive, they shall have power after many days to accomplish all things pertaining to Zion. Over in section 103, paragraph 2, and again, verily I say unto you, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and it overtaketh the world as a thief in the night. Therefore, gird up your loins. I'm reminded of the armor of God. What do we gird up our loins with? Truth, as something in short supply in the world today. So let's gird our loins up with truth, that ye may be the children of the light, and that day shall not overtake you as a thief. I believe the book of Amos, Jerem, Omni, and the Words of Mormon all just have one chapter. And in the book of Omni itself, I think it's just 54 verses. The book that it's named after, Omni, I think he just wrote 5. But what powerful words he wrote. And as I often think, and my pride, my hubris, my narcissism, I fancy myself the reincarnation of George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, MacArthur, Patton, Schwarzkopf, maybe even Moroni with the title of Liberty. But in reality, when I take away that delusion and I look upon myself, as Paul says, to examine myself, I'm really more like Omni. Wherefore, in my days, I would that you should know that I fought much with the sword to preserve my people, the Nephites, from falling into the hands of their enemies, the Lamanites. But behold, I of myself am a wicked man, and have not kept the statutes and the commandments of the Lord as I ought to have done. I don't think I've ever read any scripture that describes me more in detail than that. The bar is here. I'm in the basement. I fall short. Everyone in this room is a sinner. But these words cut me to the heart. Because when much is given, much is required. The world does not have all these books. There's a protection in the ignorance of being a heathen. But those under that covenant that we've all made, there's a greater responsibility, and certainly that within the priesthood. And I fall woefully short. I think Brother Leroy mentioned one time recently that he has to repent daily. And I thought to myself, I was like, that sounds awfully familiar. But daily I have to ask for forgiveness and ask for that grace from the Lord. From the 13th chapter of Alma, verse 79. And thus the Nephites and their wisdom, with their guards and their armies, had hemmed in the Lamanites on the south, that thereby they should have no more possession on the north, that they might not overrun the land northward. What a novel idea. Kind of sounds like what we're going on in the country now. Just a thought. Therefore, the Lamanites could have no more possessions only in the land of Nephi and in the wilderness round about. Now, this was wisdom in the Nephites, as the Lamanites were an enemy to them. And this, again, this next line just really flashed in front of me. And they would not suffer their afflictions on every hand. I'll read it again. They would not suffer their afflictions on every hand. And also that they might have a country, whether they might flee according to their desires. When I read that a few months ago, I thought, imagine that. You don't have to raise your hand, but who in this room wants their country back? Wants to have a country of their own where the laws and the governments are here for our protection, not our detriment, not our enslavement, not our extortion, but to protect us. And those that would seek our harm would go away, and we can have our own country back. Because the Nephites had had enough. No more. They wouldn't stand any more of it. They wouldn't suffer their afflictions on every hand. In the book of Helaman, the second chapter, verse 139. Here the Lord's really taken his belt off at this point, but it's what we need to hear. I often am surprised that so many just want to hear in their prayers and their testimonies and their preaching. You know, I always say John 3:16 and Psalm 23. And that's all they want to hear. And when I read the scriptures, it said, the Lord did not command his servants, the prophets, to rise up early, to go to the people and say, you're all righteous. You're all good. There's nothing to see here. Go back to sleep. All is well in Zion. That's not what the Lord does. We need to get back in the books. Because here it says, for behold, the Lord had blessed them so long with the riches of this world that they had not been stirred up to anger, to wars, to bloodsheds. Therefore, they began to set their hearts upon their riches. If you let the kids rip up the carpet or set fire to the house, the end result is expected. And again, over in chapter 4. Of Helaman, the 52nd verse. And thus we see that except the Lord doth chasten, except the Lord doth chasten his people with many afflictions, yea, except he doth visit them with death and terror and famine and with all manner of pestilence, they won't remember him. Oh, how foolish, how vain, and how evil and devilish, and how quick to do iniquity, and how slow to do good are the children of men. I look at the things going on in this country and the world, and I don't know how much longer we have until the Lord reminds us who he is, and we're not going to like it. And section 138, I really like this section. I believe it was the last section given through Fred M. Smith before he passed. And it's a good admonishment from the Lord of what the church needs to do. So section 138, paragraph 3, it says, let the church again be admonished that the task of establishing Zion presses heavily upon us. This was 1938. How much more heavily does it press upon us in 2024? Barriers and hindrances to the achievement of this goal should be removed as speedily as possible and practical. Get rid of it. We don't need it. To lay securely the foundations for Zion and her buildings, the work should be accomplished in peace and harmony. Unity should prevail. To this end, all the saints should work together in the rich fraternity which can and will prevail among them, when they keep faithfully the commandments. Great blessings are in store. And I truly believe that, brothers and sisters. Greatest day of the church are yet ahead. Great blessings are in store for the church. If, which means on condition, if it will in faith and saintly devotion go forward in its tasks. We have tasks. We have things that the Lord has given us to do, not only recent revelation of the Doctrine and Covenants, but the Book of Mormon and the Holy Scriptures themselves. We know what we should be doing, but we don't do it. And we wonder why we don't have Zion. When I read those scriptures, I think of the Army. I think of when I was a volunteer firefighter. I think of many other jobs I had, where when you have that unity and you put away the contentions and the bickering and you work together, amazing things happen. I really wish we could see that in the church, because I know much would be accomplished. It says, when the Lord shall bring again Zion, the watchman will see eye to eye. That will be a great day. One of my recent travels, in closing, I'll read just a few articles. When I was down in Memphis, I went through Graceland, Elvis's home. And I guess it was well known, his favorite holiday was Christmas. He really liked it. And of course, Elvis served in the Army and had a lot of vehicles, but he liked Harleys as well. My favorite holiday is Independence Day. I love that holiday. And it always comes up too quick, and it always goes too fast. And it's not just about the fireworks or the freedom from Great Britain. But I look at it much deeper than that, with what the Founding Fathers wrote, the freedom of conscience, of self-respect, that we do not bow the knee and kiss the ring of a monarch. We're not serfs or subjects, but that we're each our own man, and our homes are our castles, and that we can go as we please and worship as we please. It's a beautiful holiday to me. So this poem from Charles M. Province, that was very appropriate for this month. It is the soldier, not the minister, who has given us freedom of religion. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom to protest. It is the soldier, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. Fair trial. It is the soldier, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag. Whose coffin is draped by the flag. And we've seen too many draped beneath them. Who allows the protester to burn the flag. Full disclosure, I would not, but as I read this last poem, I really wish I would have just got the audio and had, who's up there, Jesse or Donita? Donita. I'm sure she could play it. It was read by John Wayne, and of course, the only way John Wayne could speak, that powerful voice that he had. I'll go ahead and have Val, since our dear pastor was the one that called me out last month when I forgot to bring a picture of my father for Father's Day. And I hesitated with sharing the picture, but that picture was taken 14 years ago today. It was family day, the day before graduation. And years before the cancers, the heart attacks, the sepsis destroyed his body, years before he even needed a scooter, he was healthy. So if Val would share that around, I'll read this last quote from John Wayne, asking why he loved America. "You ask me why I love her. Well, give me time and I'll explain. Have you seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana Way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White calling in the Carolina pines, or heard the bellow of a diesel in the Appalachian mines? Does the call of Niagara thrill you when you hear her waters roar? Do you look with awe and wonder at a Massachusetts shore, where men who braved a hard new world first stepped on Plymouth Rock? And do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies, way up high? Have you seen the sun come blazing down from a bright Nevada sky? Do you hail to the Columbia as she rushes to the sea, or bow your head at Gettysburg in our struggle to be free? Have you seen the mighty Tetons? Have you watched an eagle soar? Have you seen the Mississippi roll along Missouri's shore? Have you felt a chill at Michigan when on a winter's day her waters rage along the shore in a thunderous display? Does the word aloha make you warm? Do you stare in disbelief when you see the surf come roaring in at Waimea Reef? From Alaska's gold to the Everglades, from the Rio Grande to Maine, my heart cries out, my pulse runs fast at the might of her domain. You ask why I love her? A million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky." As I read that, and you can only ask yourself, how many of those places have you been to? Have you seen? Have you witnessed the beauty of God's creation? But we all know this is a choice land above all other lands that God blessed. And he has very strict rules for the inhabitants, the tenants, the stewards of this land, and the awful consequences if they don't live up to that. In my travels, whether the Army or just recently on the motorcycle, I've seen a lot of those sites. And they're oh so beautiful. And so as I read that, and again, what John Wayne asks, you know, why I love her, and he goes through all those beautiful examples. And I'll leave you with this, and only you can answer this in your hearts and in your life. If you love something, do you fight for it? Do you protect it? Or do we let it rust and rot? Do we let thieves break through and steal? I can't answer that for you. I can only answer that for me. I love this land. The land literally itself, the beauty of this country. But I also am kind of fond of my freedoms, my guns and my Harleys. And ain't no man going to take my gun, my Harley, or my Book of Mormon. As Charlton Heston famously said, you know, from my cold, dead hands. If you love something, your spouse maybe, what will you do to protect her? Or will you just, there you go. I love this country. I love this church. Till my dying breath, I have a great swell of pity for anyone who threatens either. And I will never apologize for that, and I will only answer to the Lord for that. I think we had a time of calling. I think that day of choosing is fast at hand. I think this nation is going to have to answer for its shortcomings, but I think the greatest days of the church are yet ahead. The Lord will establish Zion. Just hope and pray that we're a part of it. We have been so blessed in this rich and beautiful land. And I am grateful to the Lord for that. And I want to spend the rest of my life serving the Lord and serving this country. I don't like seeing either suffer. It breaks my heart. And lastly, it is my hope and prayer, as those young men took a stand and gave everything they had to the defense of their country and their freedoms. We see so much the opposite nowadays, where men can't line up fast enough to throw it all away for some false idol. I hope and pray, saints, that we'll dig deep, because what's coming, it's going to be rough. But we know with the Lord's help, we can endure all things, we can go through all things. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and many others, we can walk through that fire and not even smell like smoke. Not by any strength or wisdom that they did, or power, but by the power of Almighty. So keep the faith. I truly hope and pray that we'll all step up. And that's men and women. It's everybody. We'll step up. We'll put our money where our mouth is. And we'll go to work for the Lord. And we'll do what He wants us to do. It may not be popular. We may not be liked of the world. And a lot of us are going to die. No one wants to think about that scripture. I didn't read him tonight, but it clearly says in Revelation, they'll overcome the saints, they'll make war with the saints, they'll wear them out, and they'll kill them. There's not many people here tonight, but I thought, just like Abinadi, he met a really rough end. I thought, Lord, as I really struggled earlier today, I said, why should I even bother going? I should just go home. But even Abinadi preaching, only one person listened. But look what that one man did. It only takes a spark to ignite a fire, a revolution, a rebellion. And I look forward to that day when we have that renaissance, that restoration, that restitution that the Lord promised us. I look forward to all the things that the Lord promised us. And that will be a great day. Keep the faith.
Thank you, J.W. Let us close with hymn number 458, Shall We Gather Home to Zion? Hymn 458.
Father, we come before you this evening, Father, as we close this hour of worship, this day of worship, knowing, Father, that the sun will come up tomorrow, there will be air to breathe, and that this land that J.W. has spoke of will continue to be the promised land, promised to those, Father, who are willing to keep your commandments and strive to be that Zionic people that you have called us to be. There's no power on earth, Father, that you will allow to destroy this nation unless those who reside there have turned from you. The soldiers that J.W. spoke of as honorable and desirable as they may be, are made strong through the power of your Spirit. The way that they can face death, the way that they can carry out the assignments they are given, sometimes knowing it entails death. is by the power of your Spirit coming upon them. The only way we, Father, as your people, can establish Zion is to become that people you have called us to be. It will not magically happen. Somebody will not throw a switch and suddenly we all change. But it will be because of a burning desire within each and every one of us to become more like Jesus and less like ourselves. How can we ever reach the point, O Lord, that we give back to you the only thing that we possess, which is our self-will? You gave it to us in the garden, and you have allowed us to use it and abuse it ever since. We have proven over the millennia that mankind by himself will not and cannot do the things that you command him to do and call upon him to do unless we turn to you with full purpose of heart to do those things that will empower us, no matter how few we may be, no matter how many powers of the adversary rise up against us. If we are united in love and desire and willingness to keep your commandments, Father, we cannot be defeated, whether it is in life or in death. And those who fight against you in death are condemned. And those who die for you are resurrected to eternal life. Father, we are few in number, but we are not diminished by any sense of the word, only by our refusal to return to you that one thing that you gave to us. May we have the wisdom and the desire and the foresight to do so, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.